like the cold is knocking at the door of your voice. I said, everybody, praise the Lord. To the old rugged cross, I'll be true. Until I lay my trophies at his feet. And I pray that old rugged cross will do, will perform, and will do great things in your life in Jesus' name. Thank you, choir. Can't quite. I wish to add more time to listen to you. You are a blessing to choir stage. You are a blessing to our nation. You are a blessing to the whole world. The Lord bless you real good. Amen. Say amen on their behalf. Amen. Today again, we come together and we want to share, we want to delve into the great things the Lord has prepared for us. And I pray you will not miss your portion in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and bless your name. We glorify you. We know with you, everything in our lives, in our ministries, in our churches, everything will be all right. In our state, over here in Kwara, in our nation, here in Nigeria, in all the countries in Africa, and all the places where you are enthroned, America, Asia, Europe, Oceania, the Pacific, everywhere, we pray everything will be all right. Amen. Your name will be honored. Amen. Your kingdom will come. Amen. Your will be done. Amen. In many parts of the world, there will be forgiveness and salvation. Amen. There will be provision for every need of every life in Jesus' name. Amen. And on the final day, as the Lord himself will come, yours will be the power, amen, and the glory, amen, and the honor, amen, forever, amen, and ever, amen, and ever, amen, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A victorious amen. Amen. A triumphant amen. Amen. An irreversible, irreplaceable, irretrievable amen. God bless you. You can sit down. Already you know, from the very first message, we've been dealing with what the Lord himself taught us. He said, after this manner, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You almost missed it. Say that again. Amen. Amen. Now, have you noticed in the prayer, the pattern, the model that the Lord taught us? God first. Our Father, which art in heaven, God first. Hallowed be thy name, God first. Thy kingdom come, God first. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. God first in our lives, in our prayer, in our projects, in our plans, in our pursuit. The Lord is giving us the model of life. God first. After that, our own need. After that, give us this day our daily bread. After that, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors to us. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We come next. First is honor, is glory, is power, is desire, his own project. After all, he created the world for himself. After all, he created you for himself and for his glory. So God number one, after that our needs, and then after our needs we still finish with God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody shout, yeah. Amen. We do not rush into the presence of God. God, give me, give me, give me. I need this, I want this. No, don't be in a hurry. God first. His honor first. His glory first. His power first. The praise to his name first. After that, you ask. And then don't forget, you're grateful to him. You are thankful to him because of what you have asked. And you know, because you ask in the name of his only begotten son, the answer will come. So you say, after that, we hand over everything to you, because yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory. Not just now, not just on this earth at present, but for all eternity, forever and ever. And as we say amen on earth, heaven also says amen. Now, we're looking at the latter part today, which connects us with God himself. I'm talking to you today on exceeding grace and godliness and guidance for the next level. The next level. If we're going to rise higher than we have ever gone, if we're going to have the next level, the higher level, the greater level in every area of our lives and ministry, grace, we need his grace. Godliness, we need godliness. By the way, everybody in our country and everybody almost in every country, they complain about corruption, corruption, corruption. But nobody, as it looks, is willing to rise up and confront that corruption with godliness. This church will say, they don't preach godliness in the midst of corruption in our country. That's what the church will say, we don't preach holiness. That's not our stuff in the midst of corruption. And then they will say, only the few members of Deeper Life, that's their specialty, godliness, holiness. My friend, how can you say that? If we know there is corruption everywhere, and it has become the second nature of people, civil servants, the peasants, the people at the top, the people at the bottom, and the people everywhere, the men and the women, corruption everywhere. How can you say that God raised you up and he wants you to make your neighbor better, Make your community better. Make the people around you better. And then you say, I am not for godliness. No, you are for godliness. From today, you are for godliness. Your life for godliness. And your preaching for godliness. Amen. And everything you do and everywhere you go, your stature and your standing, uncompromisingly for godliness and holiness, and then guidance. The Lord will guide you. In your ministry, the Lord will guide you. In your family, the Lord will guide you. In everything you do, everywhere you go, the Lord will guide you in Jesus' name. Exceeding grace, not just moderate grace. I don't have grace to do that. Get exceeding grace. I don't have the grace to go there. Get exceeding grace. I don't have the grace to get involved in that. Get exceeding grace. When exceeding grace comes in your life, you will do exceptional things. I said, I will do exceptional things, because exceeding grace, exceeding godliness. I hear some people, when they are to take a stand in holiness and righteousness and godliness, they say, I don't want to go too far. Why? Christ went too far. He gave his life. He gave his all. He gave everything that he had. He went too far. In godliness, in holiness, I don't want to go too far. Why not? You must go very far. And know that the Lord sent you here, placed you here, so that as far as the grace of God can carry you, well, you will go far. Amen. I will go far. Amen. In the service of the Lord, you will go far. Amen. In the ministry of the gospel, you will go far. In everything the Lord has ordained, you will go far in Jesus' name. And guidance, the Lord guides us, because he knows tomorrow what we do not know. He knows the future, what we do not know. It's not only guiding us in one area of our work. Lord, I want to choose a life partner. Guide me, good. I want to choose a career. Lord, guide me, good. I want to travel. Lord, guide me, good. In everything, he guides us with supernatural, everlasting wisdom. We're children of yesterday, and we do not know the future, and the choice we make and the decisions we make, we do not know where that will land us, but he knows the end from the beginning. Therefore we say, Lord, with your knowledge of the end from the beginning, guide us. The Lord will guide you. Well, the stairs to the next level, the ladder to the next level. Jacob did not see any ladder when he laid his head on a stone on his way to his future. But then the Lord brought the ladder. You will see the ladder. And that ladder will take you to the next level in Jesus' name. Now, that's the reason why we come to God and we say, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And then in verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine, I am thine, and I'm in the kingdom, and thine is the kingdom. And the kingdom belongs to you, I belong to you, and the power and the glory forever. And the people of God shout, yeah. Exceeding grace, godliness, and guidance, for the next level. Three things we're looking at today. Number one, pardon for the penitent from the gracious King. Number two, preservation of the purified by the great King. Number three, power for progress through the glorious King. Look at number one. Number one, pardon for the penitent from the gracious King. In Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 12, it says, and forgive us. And many lives are ruined because of the missing link. And, you know, after you've got this and this and that, there may be a missing link in your life. And forgive us our debts. I want you to picture this, that a man carries a bag at the back, hanging it on his neck, and every lie he tells, every sin he commits, every transgression he has, throws a pebble in the bag. In the morning, deceiving household members, a pebble is thrown at the bag. And everywhere he goes, he signs something wrong, he becomes corrupt, he becomes evil. He acts in a sinful way. Every time he does something wrong, a pebble is thrown inside the bag. By the time you throw the pebbles with all the things he has done, and with all the evil he has done, the bag is heavy. Think about a person that had lived for 35 years, 37 years, and every day you are throwing pebbles at the bag that he carries on his shoulder, carries at his back. By the time he's 37, by the time he's 50, that bag of condemnation and that bag of guilt is so heavy. And to climb and to go to the next level almost becomes an impossibility. That's why you come to God and you say, Lord, the bag of guilt, the bag of condemnation is so heavy. Take it off my back. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And when God takes that off, there is forgiveness, there is freedom, and then the strength and the power of the Lord is able to carry you through. It will carry you through. Uh-huh. But now, forgive us our debts. You owed somebody, or somebody owed you money, and then he comes to you and he says, forgive me that have not paid their debt. My friend, you're buying land, you're buying cars, you're building houses, you're sending your children overseas to school, and the debt is not as important, and you're spending everything. Now, when we come to God and we say, forgive us, we don't come to God every time and say, Lord, I've blown it again. Lord, I've done that foolish thing again, forgive me. And after you think you have forgiveness, you go back again and you do the same evil, sinful thing. God does not work like that, because that is hypocrisy. Forgive us. I'm willing to shed off that weight. I'm willing to shed off that sin. I'm willing to shed off and to cancel all those things that I've been doing. That's why we need the grace of God. And the gracious King will see that we are penitent, we're repentant, And then he forgives us. The three things here. Number one, the promise of forgiveness for the penitent, for the sorrowful, for the prodigal that returns home. The promise of forgiveness for the penitent. Number two, the peace at the foundation of his pardon. The peace at the foundation of his pardon. Number three, the privilege of freedom by his power. The privilege of freedom by his power. Look at number one. Number one is the promise of forgiveness for the penitent. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, reading from verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Why are we to forsake sinful thoughts? Thoughts lead to action. Actions lead to habit. The habit leads to character. The character leads to destiny. Your thoughts, evil thoughts. You cannot do an evil thing without thinking of it first. You cannot be violent. You cannot be evil without planning the strategy, what you will do, how you will do it, who you will do it to. Your thoughts are the very foundation of your transgression. Your thoughts are the very foundation of your sin. Let the wicked forsake his way, his way. The drunkard has his way. The thief has his method, his way. The adulterer has his method, his way. The adulteress has her maneuvering, her presentation, her way. It's not just the outcome of what we have done. It's the way that leads to that final thing. It's the thought that leads to that final thing. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Now, not to the priest. The priest cannot say, I forgive you. The grace comes from heaven. The church founder cannot say, go ahead, whatever you do, go and do the evil in the night. Just bring a part of the money to the church and help the work of God. And I, by my authority as the founder of the church, I forgive you. It doesn't work. Because our sin is against God. And when we're asking for forgiveness, let him return unto the Lord. And he will. That's the promise. He will have mercy upon him and to our God. That's where salvation comes from. And to our God. Not unto a man, not unto River Jordan. At the river, the water cannot wash anything clean in your character. Let him return unto our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Somebody say amen. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Covering, covering, covering. When you tell one lie, so that that lie will not be discovered, you have to have a wider, bigger lie to cover that. And when you've done something wrong, who stole this thing? I put this thing here. You are the one that stole it. And for you to cover up that stealing, you have to have a bigger, wider blanket. Many people cover their sins. They do it in various ways. But he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. Do you see those two words together there? Confesseth and forsaketh them. There are people who confess and they never forsake. Allow me, pardon me. That's why they come and they say, God, we have done what we shouldn't have done. We have not done what we should have done. Forgive us. Okay. Following Sunday again, they come back. We have done what we shouldn't have done. We have not done what we should have done. Okay. Then they come back again. They fought every Sunday, why are you just confessing? Why didn't you forsake? Why didn't you say, enough is enough? I will not be a sinner anymore. I will be a saved soul. I need the grace of God from the gracious King. Let him forgive me and set me free. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, verse 18. Acts 26, reading from verse 18. Here Paul the Apostle was relating the ministry the Lord had given him, which is a pattern, a model, an example of the ministry the Lord has given you, has given me, has given us to open their eyes. That's what preaching should do. And to turn them from darkness to light. Not that we stay in darkness and we're praying, Father, forgive me, I've done what I shouldn't have done. I blew it again. I went into that immorality again. To turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Satan has his kind of evil power. And when we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, forgive us, we do not remain with the power of Satan. We turn to the Lord and we're delivered from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me. Number two here. Number two, if the peace are the foundation of his pardon. When he pardons us, he removes the guilt, removes the condemnation, and now he grants us peace of heart. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace. It's like a drop of the pot cold water, cool water, refreshing water in our soul, in our spirit, in our heart. And it says, we have peace with God. Peace with God. You see, there are times people are making reconciliation with man, and they're busy with their social gospel, bringing this person to this person, and they never think that the number one reconciliation we need is reconciliation with God. Somebody is trying to settle quarrel, and this looks like his ministry in his church, husband and wife. They are always fighting, husband and wife. They are always in argument. And the pastor from morning till evening, from Sunday to Sunday, all through the weekdays, is busy reconciling them, reconciling them. Have peace, and it doesn't work. Why? Because if we don't have peace with God, grace will not come. And the grace to then have peace with people will not be there. The very first thing you think about now, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2 there. In verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, the grace that brings pardon, that brings peace, that brings a new life. It is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I pray that this righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost will come to everyone in Jesus' name. And from you, it will go to others in Jesus' name. Am I getting any amen this morning? Look at number three here. Number three, the privilege of freedom by his power. Look at the children of Israel. Moses came to them as God has sent him. And he came so that they will have freedom. What do you think? If those children of Israel were released for 1 week and then they come back to the bondage, and then again they're released for another 1 week and they come back, so they're one step forward, two steps backward. So they're always moving forward and moving back. That's what many people do in what they call their Christian life. They have freedom for 1 day, freedom for 1 week, and then the following week they are back with their nose in the mud again. Their eyes, they fall. They're free, and then they are bound. The freedom that Christ gives, it gets us out of that bondage. It gets us out of that sinful lifestyle. And it gets us into freedom. Look at this. The woman had been caught in sin, what she shouldn't have done. The Pharisees had the stones of the law to throw at her and to kill, to destroy her without a chance of repentance, of faith, and of getting to heaven. But Jesus did not have any stone to throw at her, but had the grace for forgiveness, for freedom to come unto her. That's why he said, no man, Lord, has condemned me. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. I may point out your sin, but neither do I condemn thee. I may probe. I may look at that sore. And I may say, it's deep, it's wide. All that probing is not to hurt you. I may declare that this is evil. It's not to condemn you. We do the probing to bring conviction and to drive you on your knees and to say, Lord, without your grace, I'll never make it. That's what Jesus said. He didn't come to condemn anyone. He condemned sin. He condemned transgression. He condemned evil. He condemned hypocrisy. And he even said, one to you scribes and Pharisees. But the probing is to bring conviction. It's not to bring condemnation final that you'll never make it. No, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Freedom. Freedom. The Lord will set every one of us free in Jesus' name. Look at verse 36. Verse 36, 8. The Son, therefore, shall make you free. Ye shall be free indeed. Make you free, salvation. Make you free, justification. Make you free, condemnation is gone. But indeed, in reality, in your practical life, indeed, in reality, in your daily life, it makes you free at the time of prayer. The Son makes you free. As you go out there in the world, and you interact with people, and you said, since Jesus came into my heart, see, Jesus set me free. What I used to do, I cannot do anymore. Where I used to go, I cannot go there anymore. In practical life, in the community, ye shall be free indeed. May that freedom be established in your heart, in your life, in Jesus' name. And look at Romans chapter 6, verse 18. Romans 6, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. You know, when you come to Christ and he makes you free, free from sin, you do not become the servants of rebellion. I cannot find in the word of God that somebody says, I met Christ, I didn't know how to rebel before. I was rebelling in an immature way, but now I have the wisdom, I have the intelligence, I have the power to rebel more than ever before. That never happens. You have not met Christ. When you meet Christ, being then made free from sin, ye became not the servants of rebellion, but the servants of righteousness. Then he tells us in verse 22, but now being made free from sin. It's not when we get to heaven that will be free from sin, but now on this earth, with the grace of God and with the power of that grace in our lives, now here on earth, now at the time of prayer, now in our family, now in our community, now in our office, now being made free from sin and become servants to God. Not godliness, not godlessness, but servants unto God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Can I have a great amen there? We look at number two. Look at point number two. Preservation of the purified by the great king. We're looking at Matthew chapter 6, the first part of verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, into trouble, into tribulation, into trial. When we're close to God, he leads us. And there are many, many traps we will not fall into when we're looking unto Jesus, our eyes on him, our mind on the scripture, our hand is holding. And so, lead us not into temptation. Now, when people get into some activities, some connections, some contracts, some friendship, and some relationships that eventually land them in trouble, oh, they say, look at what is happening to me. And they say, well, it's God. How can I avoid it? Whatever God has ordained, that's not God. That's you. You didn't ask him. We just went into relationship, agreement, contract, whatever. You didn't ask him. If you asked him, he will not lead you into that tribulation, into that trial, into that trouble, into that temptation, and deliver us from evil. What if by our carelessness already we find ourselves in the ditch, in the middle of the problem? Then the next part of the prayer, deliver us from evil. It will deliver you. Amen. Whatever you have foolishly, carelessly, prayerlessly gone into, and now you see the difficulty, that's the time to say, Lord, I'm in it already, but I don't want to die in this condition. Deliver me from evil. You will do it.
Amen.
Why? Because thine is the kingdom. Why? Why does he deliver us? Because thine is the power. How can he deliver us? He wants us for his glory. Thine is the glory in my life, in my ministry, and in the life of members of my family from now and even forever. Before I go on, you know, sometimes you are getting older and older, and your children are still young, and you say, now they are following the Lord, but after I am gone, what will happen to my children, my family, and my church? When you leave, God will still be on the throne. Because his is the kingdom, whether you are here or you are there. And his is the power, whether you're still on earth or you've gone to the great beyond. And his is the glory, whether you are here or there. Earth, heaven, temporal, eternal, is there forever and ever. If you go before your family, it will keep your family.
Amen.
It'll keep your ministry.
Amen.
It'll keep the work of your hand.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Number two, preservation of the purified by the great King. Three things we're looking at. Number one, prevention and protection from societal temptations. Number two, perception and power over the subtle tempter. Number three, the price of perseverance for steady triumph. Number one, prevention and protection from societal temptations. We're looking at James chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Let no man say when he gets into temptation, into trial, into trouble, into tribulation, into trauma. Let no man say when he has a challenge like that, I am tempted of God, I'm tried of God, I'm troubled by God, I am traumatized by God. You know, all these counselors that come to us, something has happened, and it was unexpected, it was painful, it was demoralizing. And then they say, their counselors, and they say, it's God that has done it. Leave it in the hands of God. They say, God has brought the trouble, the temptation, the trial, the evil. They say, glory be to God. And then they say, give thanks for all things. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say when the devil does something, give thanks to God for that thing. And when your carelessness has caused an accident and is threatening your life, give thanks to God for all things. No, it said give thanks in all things. In all things. That's different. You are there, the trial is there, the temptation is there, the trouble is there. You are not thanking God for trouble. You are not thanking God for temptation. You are not thanking God for evil. But if you are there in that trouble, give thanks to God, and while you praise God, he'll bring you out.
Amen.
He will bring me out. He'll bring you out in Jesus' name. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're reading from verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There has no temptation taking you, but such as common to men. You know, some people think they're, you know, so special, and this special heavy burden never happened to anybody on earth before except them. And because they think like that, they say, what can I do? This, I cannot find any example that this has happened to any time on earth. It's not true. Have you compared your problem with that of Joseph? Have you compared your problem with that of Moses? Have you compared your challenges with that of Joshua? Have you compared your problems with that of Caleb and that of Jabez? Have you compared your trouble with that of Paul the Apostle? Whatever happens to us, the world has been for about 6,000 years of recorded history. And therefore you will find whatever happens to you today, it has happened to other people before, and they overcame. I will overcome. I said they overcame, and I will overcome. There is no temptation. There is no trial. There is no trouble taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. You lost your amen.
Amen.
Joseph, you're in the prison, and you have dreams. What will happen to your dream? Says, don't worry about that. God is faithful. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, here you are, and the greatest power, despot on earth, is against you. And it says, fire, furnace, burning, burn you alive. Conspiracy, threatening. And they say, whenever that despot king, whenever he says anything, final. Ah, how can you say that? There's only one person that has the final say in your life. Final say in your family. Final say in your ministry. God has the final say. You see, they're coming after you. They're going to get you. Those people, whenever they determine the side, they will wreck a man. They will ruin a woman. They always make their threatenings fulfilled. They have the final say. Change your mind. Change your language. No man has the final say in your life. They didn't create you. They didn't save you. They didn't heal you. See what God has done. Because of what he has done, we know that no man, no demon, no Satan has the final say. Wipe your tears away. Clear all the confusion from your brain. When looking at God, the omnipotent, when looking at God, the all-powerful, the almighty, the great I am that I am. He has the final say in your life.
Yeah.
Where is the person I'm talking to there? Yeah. Forget all your trouble. Yeah. Forget all your trial. Yeah. Forget all their threatenings. Pastor, this place I'm living, filled, infested with evil people, they monitor me, they teleguide me. Whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm saying, even in my room, They hear everything. And because of that, I want to go this way, and they dribble me this way. I'm afraid. Don't be afraid. There's somebody greater than the greatest. There's someone higher than the highest. He will see you through. What are you this morning? He will see you through. And whatever mileage you have lost in your journey, the Lord will make it up. You will run faster. You will go higher. He will not lead you into temptation beyond that which you can manage, that which you can overcome. He will deliver you from all evil. But there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you, permit you to suffer beyond that, to not suffer you to be tempted above ye are able. What drowns us in our problems is that when the problem comes, we say, oh man, I cannot overcome this. This one is greater than my strength. Did I say I was saved? Salvation cannot cover this. Did I say I was sanctified? Sanctification cannot cover this. Did I say I was filled and immersed with the power of the Holy Ghost? This one is beyond the power of baptism in the Holy Ghost. The moment you think, I cannot, you prophesy negative to your life, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Go there, I cannot. Run there, I cannot. Have that ministry, I cannot. Overcome this, I cannot. Face that challenge, I cannot. It's a self-fulfilling negative prophecy. But I change that prophecy. Yeah. I can. I can. I can. That mountain, I can climb it. That problem, I can solve it. That way, I can go there. That trial, I can overcome it. After all, you've been prophesying negative to your life all these many years. Why don't you turn around now, and when that negative prophecy is about to come, say, stop right there. I can. I said, I can. You will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it. Make a way to escape. Make a way to escape. You will escape. Amen. Look at number two here. Number two here, we're talking about perception and power over the subtle tempter. Perception and power. Perception. Second Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Now, that word, perception. The serpent came to Eve, and she did not have perception that the serpent wanted her to be driven out of the Garden of Eden. She was discussing with the enemy as if the enemy were a friend. She was conversing with the serpent as if that serpent came to give her a lost privilege. When you don't have perception, you'll just be here and there. And anybody that says, can I show you something? You say, go ahead. Can I tell you something? Go ahead. Can I reveal something to you? Go ahead. Because you do not have perception. If Eve had had perception, when that serpent came and said, good morning, can I talk to you today? As God said, hold on, serpent, let me call my husband to answer you. That thing that happened, that fall, would not have happened. God, give me perception. Lord, give me perception. Everything that happens, give me perception. The people that come from different directions, give me perception. When you have the perception, you'll overcome the subtlety of the tempter, of the temptress, every time in Jesus' name. Lest Satan shall get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, that's Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. And he, being a father in the Lord, all of us who are Gentiles, we should look at how our father in the Lord, Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, see how he overcame. And he said, we are not ignorant of his devices. I pray you will not be ignorant.
Amen.
Whenever we read the Bible, many people read and read and read the Bible. And they say, Pastor, I'm growing. Tell me what you mean. Today I read 10 chapters of the Bible. And for some weeks now, I read 10 chapters of the Bible. How much wisdom, how much insight, how much faith did you get in the 10 chapters you read? It is not what you read, it is what you take in, it is what you have, it is what you possess of that which you read that makes you to cross over every evil in your life. We are not ignorant of his devices. He didn't say we're not ignorant of the doctrine. We're not ignorant of the verses of scripture. We're not ignorant of messages. But we are not ignorant of his devices and all the devices of the enemy. The Lord will crush and cancel out of your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Look at number three here. Number three here, we're talking of the price of perseverance for steady triumph. Understand that? Steady triumph. We triumph today. That's not enough. We triumph this week. That's not enough. For it to be steady and steadfast, steady, steadfast triumph. The price of persevering in that, and the price of being firm, and the price of being there at the point of triumph every time. What's the price? What do we have? What should we have? How would we have that steady, steadfast triumph? Victory every time.
Amen.
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 Victory every time in your life.
Amen.
And victory every time in your family.
Amen.
And victory every time in your ministry.
Amen.
A victory every time in all your endeavors in Jesus' name. How do I have, how do you have, how do we have that steadfast, steady triumph and victory, and the victory? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Reading from verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're reading from verse 14. Now thanks be unto God all the time. Recognize the place of God, the position of God, the power of God, the provision, the promise of God in our triumph. Now, thanks be unto God, which always, always, if we're looking unto Jesus, always, if we're depending upon his promise, always, if we're resting in his power, always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Look at some words there. Always causeth us. Always the temptation is biting hard. The fire is heated 10 times hotter. And the hurdle is higher than it had been before. But all the same, he always causeth us to triumph in Christ. And he maketh manifest, visible, well known, victory will be manifest in your life.
Amen.
Triumph will be visible in your life. And the power of God in your life that makes you to be above all your challenges, it will be known everywhere, every time, in Jesus' name. And then it says, by us in every place, every place, every place, the Lord will confirm that in your life in Jesus' name. But we need to bring ourselves to the line of victory, the line of triumph. And we need to abide, abide in him. He wants to give us the triumph always. And so we abide in him always. He wants in every place, any place we go to, we're not like chameleons. Chameleons are the people that take the color of the environment wherever they go. And some people are like that. They come to this community and they say that this is how the community here, this is how they do their things. If you cannot beat them, join them. If he wants to give you the triumph and the victory and the conquering power in every place, then you yourself, you are faithful in every place, and in every place, triumph will be yours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Will be mine. Will be mine. Will be yours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us.
Amen.
I'm waiting for, you know what I'm waiting for?
Yeah.
By us.
Amen.
In every place.
Amen.
The knowledge of Christ, as we live here, we're taking that knowledge by us, in every local government, in every state, in every community, in every nation, by us, in every place, the knowledge of Christ, and the knowledge of his salvation, and the knowledge of his power. He will make that known everywhere by us, in Jesus' name. I come now to point number three, the power for progress. You will make progress. I will make progress. Say it like you know you are really going to have a problem. I will make progress. You'll make progress. We shall make progress in Jesus' name. Look at this. power for progress through the glorious King. It's the gracious King. It's the great King. It's the glorious King. And he gives us power for progress. Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Honored be thy name. Reverence to your name. Now, if the lower powers on earth come against you and they overcome you, and you cannot make progress, there's no honor, there's no glory to our Father who is in heaven. But when the lower powers, the powerless powers, and the evil powers, and the dark powers, when they come against you, and you are still able to stand in the will of God, that brings honor unto the Father. A Father which art in heaven, hallowed, honored, reverence be thy name. And then in verse 13, it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Three things here. Number one, peculiarly made kings by the King's propitiation. Number two, purposefully made kings by the King's prediction. Number three, powerfully made kings for his kingdom proclamation. He is King, and we are members of royalty. He has created us. Actually, when he created Adam and Eve, he wanted them to be kings and to rule over and to have dominion over all things. But he lost that. But Christ has now come to lift us up, raise us up, and to make us kings, having dominion like God originally wanted, desired. And now we're peculiarly made kings, we're purposefully made kings, we're powerfully made kings. Look at number one. Number one, peculiarly made kings by the King's propitiation. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Why? Why the pardon? Why the propitiation? And why did he become the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb, to wash away, to take away all our sins? Look at verse 6 there. In verse 6 it says, and has made us kings, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Amen. It's made us kings. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. And has made us unto our God, made us believers, made us those who trust and lean upon the grace of God every moment, every time. He makes us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You are not happy with reigning. You reign on the earth in Jesus' name. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation." Amen. Amen. "A royal priesthood." Amen. "An holy nation." Amen. "A peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who has called us," called you, "out of darkness to his marvelous light." Let's come to number two here. Number two here is telling us what we have, what he has done on purpose, what he did purposefully. "Made kings by the king's prediction." You remember the story of Joseph? He was made a king, a leader, a ruler. But his brothers did not think that he was qualified for that. Joseph, of all people, is the second to the last. And we, Reuben and Simon or Simeon and Judah and the rest of them, were before him. How can you come from behind and then come to be ruler? And they say, "Look at the dreamer coming. We'll get rid of him and we'll see what will become of his dream." But God had a purpose in the life of Joseph. He has a purpose in your life. He brought you into the kingdom. He got you into salvation. And he got you to this eternal kingdom, Emmanuel's kingdom. And that purpose will be fulfilled purposefully. "Made kings by the king's prediction." In Genesis chapter 45, verse 8. "So now, it was not you, Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, and the rest of you, it was not you that sent me hither, but God." Not you, but God. Not them, but God will promote you. "And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and a ruler, a king throughout all the land of Egypt." Will he do it for you? I said, will he do it for you? Look at verse 9. In verse 9, "Haste ye and go up to my father." While your father, earthly father, is still alive, you will make it. Yeah. While those people that said in our family, we build our house at the back of the kitchen of the rich. And, you know, they already set a fence and we cannot cross over and we cannot be this and that. In their lifetime, the Lord will lift you up. Yeah. His chief. "And go up to my father and say unto him, thus says thy son Joseph." The father thought he was dead. They think you are dead. Your vision was dead. Progress dead. Climbing to the peak of the mountain, they thought all that was dead. Your vision and the goal and the ideal and the calling of God upon your life, they said, that is dead. Everything will come alive. Yeah. Jacob cried and wept and mourned as if my son is gone. The lies of the people made him to think, Joseph, my son, is gone. No, he's gone now, but you will see him again. Amen. That your daughter That's your son. You have not seen for some time. No writing, no communication, no contact. I don't know what has happened. He traveled. It's not like him. He used to get back, and now he's not getting in touch with me. Maybe he's dead. No, your son will not die like that. Your daughter will not die like that. You will see him again. You will see her again. And so Jacob came and saw, said, "My son, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not. Come down, tarry not." It's about time now we get to that victory and to that triumph and to that mountaintop. Tarry not, tarry not, tarry not. Pack the things you need to pack. We're moving on. I said we're moving on. We're made kings by the king's prediction. He said so. God said so. And the brothers, they militated everything, they mobilized every power against the fulfillment. But fulfillment has come in your life. Look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. I thought you'd say a good great amen. Number three now. Number three. Powerfully with the power of heaven. Powerfully with the power that cannot be resisted. Powerfully, the power that will grab your life today and shake all those discouragements and all those evil things, shake them out of your life. Powerfully. Somebody shout powerfully. Powerfully made kings for the kingdom proclamation. Powerfully. The power of God is coming upon your life. And the unction from above, anointing from above, coming upon your life in Jesus' name. Powerfully made kings for the kingdom proclamation. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? And gave them, tell me what? Give them, tell me what? He has not given you weakness. He has not given you the spirit of fear. He has not given you the spirit of timidity. He has not given you the spirit of a never doing well person. You know, some people, they carry bad history with them. When I was in the primary school, I didn't do well. I joined athletics. I couldn't make it. I left. I joined business people. I couldn't make it. I left. I joined this. I joined that. And I never succeed. That never would cancel it today. The Lord has not given you weakness, impotence, infirmity, defeat, fear. He has given you power. He has given me power. I can't hear you now. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Look at verse 2 there. Verse 2, and he sent them. He's sending you. Yeah. With power, he's sending you. Yeah. With anointing, he's sending you. and with success is sending you, you will make it. I will make it. I said, I will make it. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You will heal the sick. You'll preach the power of the kingdom. You will possess the power of the kingdom. From now on, when you open your mouth, power will be manifested. When you go to the village, when you go to the local government, when you go to the region, when you go to the locality, anywhere you go, power, irresistible power will follow you in Jesus' name. Look at chapter 10 of Luke, reading from verse 19. Reading from verse 19. Now, see it in your Bible, but I want you now to rise up. Rise up. I've not finished preaching. I just want to send anointing into your life. Power into your life. And the strength that will do everything the Lord has called you to do. The power to achieve. The power to succeed. The power to overcome. And the power to be at the peak of the mountain the Lord is bringing on you now. I want you to see, I want you to see, and as if the Lord Christ is standing before you right now, and he says, behold, I give unto you power. The power that will never be overcome by any enemy or progress. Behold, I give unto you power. The power that will not get you back to where you were before. Now you are up, now you are running, and now you are ready. The power that the Lord will give you. Behold, I give unto you power. The power that all magic and all darkness and all occultism and all enemies will not be able to overcome. Behold, I give unto you power. The power that will subdue and silence all the things you are talking to yourself, all the old history. I never made it. I try, but nothing ever goes well. And the work I do and the ministry I have, there is no progress. The power that will subdue and the power that will silence every other power, behold, I give unto you power. The power that will heal the sick. The power that will cast out devils. The power that will possess all your possession. The power that will make it and succeed in life. Behold, I give unto you power. The power to tread on serpents and scorpions. The power to tread on the lizards and all the charms. And the power to neutralize every other power of the enemy. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over and over and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. They say they know your name, they know your family and people in your family, they never get there. This is a no-go area, success and victory and triumph. They say for you, no-go area, all those voices are silenced. A power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. Nothing shall by enemies destroy you. Nothing shall by enemies hurt you or harm you. Everything the Lord has ordained, you will have, you will have. Everything the Lord has ordained, you will possess, you will possess. Everything the Lord has ordained, where you will go, where you will get to, you will go there, you will go there. You will go there. You will possess in Jesus' name. Now I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing from the sea, nothing from the forest, nothing from the hideout, nothing from their conspiracy, and nothing from the powers of darkness will be able to hurt you all the days of your life and ministry in Jesus' name. I got it. I got it. I got it. Open your mouth and tell the Lord, it's made you king by the king's propitiation. It's made you king by the king's prophecy. It's made you king by the king's proclamation. And for kingdom proclamation, tell him, tell him, tell him. Tell him he cannot fail. He will not fail. His is the kingdom. His is the power. His is the glory. He has given you the promise, and the promise cannot fail. He has given you the power, and the power is irresistible. You are a candidate for victory and for success. Triumph. And that triumph, every time, everywhere, he has given, it's yours already. Remember, he forgives the past. In the bag, at your back, as all those pebbles of condemnation, pebbles of guilt, and you're weighed down by a condemned conscience, bring that to the Lord. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. He'll forgive you. There's no condemnation now to them who are in Christ. Come under the saving power of the blood of the Lamb. Come under the mercy of the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. He'll pardon you. And then he'll give you peace. Peace in your heart. Peace in your soul. Peace of mind. Now I am forgiven. Now my sins are washed away. And the Spirit bears witness with my heart. I am free. I'm free indeed. Free from the yoke of the enemy. I'm free from the oppression of thoughts that will pin you down. Free. And then he gives you the power to go and live in newness of life. What a privilege we have our freedom by his power. And being made free. Being made free. We're now servants of God. And servants to righteousness. And to holiness. And to godliness. And we go out here with the message of the grace of God. With the message of godliness before God and man, and the message of the glory of God in our lives and through our lives. And is there to protect you from temptation. From trouble. From tribulation. From trauma. It's all for you. Christ, all for you. The Redeemer, all for you. The Deliverer, all for you. The great I am that I am, all for you. Now, it's made you a member of a royal family. Kings and priests unto our God. And we are made kings by the propitiation of Christ. He died for you. He took your shame. He took your sin. He lifted you up from the dunghill and has brought you to the throne of glory. He's purposefully made you kings by his prediction. And now we're made to sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. Be on the throne, be an overcomer, be a conqueror, be more than a conqueror. And it's made us kings for the kingdom proclamation. Sends us forth for power. Power to preach. Power to minister. Power. Power to overcome. Power. Power to heal. And power to deliver. Power. 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 It grants unto you already. Accept. Believe. Confess and confirm. You're going out to a power, the power that cannot fail. The power that cannot be subdued by any other power on earth. As you believe, so it shall be done in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. From this moment, you will never be the same again. In your heart, in your spirit, in your soul, in your family, in your character, in your behavior, in the ministry, you are on, you will not be weary. You will walk and you will not faint. The power of the highest will go with you everywhere. He'll preserve your life. He'll protect your life. He'll promote you to a higher level, next level, in Jesus' name. You are blessed already to be a blessing to your world. Where are you?
I'm looking for him. I'm looking for her. I rejoice with you. Today is the beginning of the ministry at a new level. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your sons, for your daughters, for the ministers, for the servants of God, for the professionals here, online, in every community, every congregation, everywhere in the world. I pray this will be the moment of lifting up. Wash all the dregs, all the dirt of the past with the blood of Jesus. Make everyone whiter than snow. Freedom for everyone. Freedom in their soul. Freedom in their spirit. Freedom on their steps. Freedom in their family. Freedom in their ministry. Freedom in their profession. All the cords that tied you back before, I break, I destroy all the cords in Jesus' name. Your yokes are broken. The enemies that were running after you and they were overpowering you, I sent forth the word of power and authority against them. Go back in Jesus' name. Now, my brother, now, my sister, you're free to succeed. You're free to overcome. You're free to triumph. And the power the Lord has given you today will abide in your life. Abide in your ministry. You will make progress. Promotion from every angle will come to you in Jesus' name. No sickness will make your body a dwelling place. No evil power will make your body their house. Free. 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 Yokes broken. Demons cast out. And you now having the power, the authority, the anointing as you go. All those other powers will bend, will bow, will be crushed before you in Jesus' name. They took the ark of God to the shrine of Dagon. And without any priest, any Eli, anybody being there, the presence of the ark destroyed the power of Dagon. Amen. Everywhere you go. Amen. Christ living on the inside of you. Amen. Power irresistible residing on the inside of you. Amen. As you step in there, Dagons will fall. Amen. Evil powers will fall. Amen. You go in power, you come out in greater power. Your ministry now has now come to a higher level. And you will now begin to operate at that next level, unction, anointing in Jesus' name. Success. Victory. Triumph. All the days of your life. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, because we know it is done. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.